The book of Romans, chapter 8, where our focus will be on verses 1 through 4. There is then, it's not the word therefore, it is the word then, carrying over from the last chapter. Literally, it's not even one condemnation or judgment against the ones in Christ Jesus. Very emphatic in the literal. Who are walking not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And that's according to, indicating governing control. And as we said, those last phrases, original in verse 4, not original in verse 1. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath freed me from the law of sin and of death. Literally, for the inability of the law, in which it was weak through the flesh, God having sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and concerning sin, he judged sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, that is, the ones walking not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. These first four verses are very important. Again, we're in this section on sanctification. When Christ's Spirit came into my spirit, I became sanctified, set apart for Christ. And so I'm learning to walk in that sanctification. I am not here for me. I am here for him. So I'm learning to walk in the Spirit for which he set me apart for. And at the meantime, in the meantime, I keep going through his growth process to learn to walk in the Spirit. But I find that, like Paul, he finds that there's a law that while he desires to do the things that are right in the sight of God, that evil is present with him. Two forces all the time, attempting to influence him, persuade him. Actually, we have a choice of two different directions, the flesh or the Spirit. So in the middle of this struggle, at the end of chapter 7, he says, who will deliver me from the body of this death? I try to do what God wants me to do, and he's tried keeping the law, thinking, well, if I keep the law, then I'll be doing what God wants me to do. But he said, the more I tried to keep the law, the more I sinned. I don't get it. And then he came to the conclusion that the law, keeping the law, was not for salvation. That God gave the law in order to give us the knowledge of sin. Where there is no law, the Bible says, there is no sin. Even though sin's there, we don't know that it's sin unless God says, here's what sin is. So Paul says, here I'm trying to keep the law in order to be pleasing to the Lord, and I'm making myself worse. So who's going to deliver me from the body of this death? There has to be, in other words, there has to be an answer outside of myself. And so he says at the end of chapter 7, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, that its freedom comes from Christ. So he tells us in verse 1, as far as our position with the Lord, that there is not even one judgment against those who are in Christ Jesus. And he includes the adverb now. Right now. There is not even one judgment against those who are in Christ Jesus. You see, he sees that as an encouragement because of the struggle that he's going through. Same struggle that you and I go through. And as we said the first hour, in the book of Ephesians, we're learning that The spirit realm, where Christ is, and the physical realm are two different realms going in two different directions. If we try to evaluate our lives from its circumstances or how I feel, even how I feel about myself while I'm in this struggle in seeking to serve the Lord and follow the Lord, but I've got this dead body hanging on me. Paul reveals that the flesh cannot be saved. We'll see later on in this chapter, it doesn't even have the ability to keep the law of God. So I have to come to the same conclusion that Paul did. If something or someone outside of myself doesn't have the answer, I'm sunk. And so he sees the answers in Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can set us free. He's the only one whose power in our lives can set us free from the law of sin and death. So he says, first of all, positionally, just because I'm struggling with the flesh, Satan can use that to beat me over the head and say, see what kind of a Christian you are? Sounds like an indictment to me. Sounds like a judgment. Sounds like condemnation to me. Paul says there is not even one condemnation against the ones who are in Christ Jesus. One of Paul's favorite phrases. But then in verse 2, we saw the not just the position, but the conversion of the believer. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has freed me. Aorist tense. One time in the past, I'm free from the law of sin and death. So Paul saw in the spirit realm that there are various laws. One law was that when I desire to keep the law of God, that evil is present with me. I always have a challenge. Paul said, I understand that there's the law of the mind, and there's also the law of the body. That with my mind I desire to serve the law of God, but with my flesh it serves the law of sin and death. And realizes the flesh can't be saved, but that part of me that desires to serve the Lord can be saved. But there's got to be an outside force. So he sees another law. Now this is law. You can look at it two ways. This is a set precedent in the spirit realm, just like we have laws in the physical. This is a set law, which is why we should never try to water down the gospel about how people can be saved. There is a law in the spirit realm that says the very spirit of the life of Christ, when his spirit comes into your spirit, you are freed from the law of sin and death. Now, I am freed from the law. It doesn't say that it destroys sin and death. I am free from it. That is, it no longer has dominion over me. It is now an irritant. It hassles me. I'm surrounded by it. Even to the point I've lived with it so long that I think it's me. But Paul says this is just the tent that we live in. When it's time to go be with the Lord, we just make camp, you know. Pack up the tent and off we go. So there's a law in the spirit realm that a person must experience a spiritual birth, that the actual spirit of the life of Christ must come into their spirit. And that is what frees me. The law of sin and death is still there. The flesh and its sin system is alive and well on planet Earth. It doesn't go away. But I have been freed from it. My problem is I'm trapped inside. I'm surrounded by it. It's kind of like the flesh's SWAT team. It's got me surrounded. And yet I'm free. I still have to carry it around, but I no longer am dominated and controlled by it because Jesus set my spirit free. I say it's important to notice that as a law because in approaching salvation, we must understand that, and in looking back at salvation, we must understand that the early church always focused not on doctrine, that was secondary, but as far as salvation goes, if a person does not have the Spirit of Christ, they don't belong to Christ. That a person that belongs to Christ is being led by His Spirit. The one who has the Spirit of Christ has the testimony of Christ in their spirit. To the point that John in 1 John would say, if you don't have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, it doesn't make any difference what you say. You don't belong to Him. Even Paul in 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, to a fellowship of believers, examine yourselves whether you be of the faith. Test yourselves whether Christ is in you or not. If anybody should know, he says, you should know whether Christ is in you or not. And in the early church, that was the qualification because that is the law. Now, if I tell somebody something different than what's in chapter 8, verse 2, I'm changing the law in the spirit realm and I don't have the right to do that. And it's false. Person will not be saved and does not even have the assurance of salvation because of the rules that I make up that appeal to their logic and reason. And over the years, probably 20 or 30 years ago, you heard messages about being born again. I don't even hear the phrase anymore. Don't even hear it. It's join up, join the church, and go to work. That's what it's called salvation. That's not salvation. Not salvation at all. It's a law. I can only report the law. I can't change it. I can't make it different or easier for people because salvation is not of people, it's of Christ. Jesus saves. Thirdly, verse 3, the substitution for the believer. We've had the position, the conversion, and the substitution. And verse 3 starts out with the word for, and in Greek that means he's explaining the reason for his statements about the spirit of the life in Christ Jesus freeing me from the law of sin and death. For, in explanation. Notice the literal translation. The inability of the law. Some translations say that which the law could not do. Same thing, except that literally it's the inability, lack of capacity. The law does not have the capacity or ability to save anybody. The inability of the law, in which it was weak through the flesh. Very interesting that in chapter 7, Paul told us that the law is holy and it's spiritual. Nothing wrong with the law at all. That the law was given for a certain purpose, and it serves its purpose very well. But it was never meant for someone to live by and earn their salvation. It was rather to drive us to Christ, to show us that we cannot keep the law. Once we can't keep it, we're sinners. We've fallen short. But what makes the law unattainable is the flesh. I try to keep the law of God the way He meant it to be lived. I can't do that, no matter how hard I try. He says, for the inability of the law in which it was weak according to the flesh, God, having sent His own Son, very important. The emphasis is His own Son. I can't send anybody else or any other way. It's God sending His own Son. But look how He sent Him in the likeness of sinful flesh, or more literally, in the likeness of the flesh of sin. He didn't say in sinful flesh. He says in the likeness of sinful flesh. We're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, that Jesus was made to be sin for us who knew no sin. He was perfect. He was God as a human being. Now, this is very interesting because in God's economy, for instance, in order to conquer death, a person has to die and defeat death. You can't just show up on the scene and say, I'm God, there's death, and therefore I'm in control of that, don't worry about it. God came in human form and literally experienced physical death, which is why His disciples were so bummed out. Even if they believed He was the Messiah, it's kind of a backwards way of conquering things. Yeah, I'm going to let Satan kill me and we'll see what he can do about it. when you're dead, you're dead. They saw Him come down off the cross and He was buried. But when He rose from the dead, He defeated death. In God's economy, God had to come in perfect human form in the likeness of the sinful flesh, but having no sin in His flesh. But He being like us, He would be the perfect sacrifice to defeat sin. Sounds backwards. You have to be perfect to defeat sin. And you have to be in the same material that sin works through, yet be without sin if you want to defeat sin. So God sent His own Son in the likeness of the flesh of sin and concerning sin, and He judged or condemned sin in the flesh. Just like Jesus conquered death by dying and rising from the dead, God judged all sin through the physical body of Jesus Christ, who came in our likeness so that He can defeat not just death, but sin itself. The word sin has a definite article. As we've been saying for weeks, that means Paul's making reference not to just sin in general, but the sinner. 1 John 5:8 is listed as Satan. Satan's the one that causes people to sin. So He defeated death by dying and rising from the grave. He defeated sin for us by dying for its punishment and rising from the dead to give us newness of life. Then he says in verse 4, the justification of the believer, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, that is, those who are not walking according to the flesh, but who are walking according to the Spirit. Purpose clause. God sent his Son for the purpose that the righteous requirement of the law for me might be fulfilled not by me, but in me. How does in me meet God's righteous requirements? It's because Christ, who died on the cross and fulfilled those requirements, he lives in me. Therefore, his fulfillment of God's righteous requirements, they're mine. Because I am in Christ and Christ is in me. He will never not be in me, and I will never not be in him. Ever. Once Christ comes in. But the righteous requirement of the law was fulfilled. All of God's requirements in the law was fulfilled in Christ. But notice the qualifier, and this is original, the ones not walking according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We had shared with you before from verses 8 through 10, Paul's definition of somebody walking according to the flesh is somebody that's not saved. He's not talking about two different kinds of Christians. One is saved and one is not. And again, the kata preposition, according to, means dominated or controlled by. The one who is walking, controlled and dominated by the flesh, the righteous requirements of the law have not been fulfilled in them because they're not saved. The characteristic of the believer is walking according to the Spirit. Now, that's a factual statement. I don't always feel like I'm walking in the Spirit. Just hit your thumb with a hammer once, and you realize that you're not very spiritual. I get frustrated because I read of these promises and I read about these things that have already been fulfilled in my life, and I find myself still more in the human, in the flesh, and in the world, in my function, than I am with the Spirit of Christ. And yet the Bible tells me factually, I am walking according to the Spirit. It's not me trying to put or claim the promises of God to put it into operation. He's already there. It's already happening. Later on, he's going to say to walk according to the Spirit is realizing that you are being led by the Spirit of God. But if I judged the faithfulness of God by my human evaluations and how my circumstances go, I must not be saved. But the understanding and realization that God is in charge of all things. That from the very day that Jesus saved me, his Spirit is leading me, and I am walking according to the Spirit. But whether I have the realization of it or not, That's the key. In Hebrews chapter 5, the writer of Hebrews says that our spiritual maturity is dependent upon being exercised by the Word, so that our inner faculties will be exercised to be sensitive to what is right and wrong according to the Lord in the spirit realm. We can be saved and be very insensitive to the spirit realm and the Spirit of Christ, very insensitive to what He is already doing, and very insensitive to the fact that what's happening to me physically and circumstantially is the design of God. That's the way He speaks. That's the way He guides my life. And if I don't understand that, have the realization of it, not just the concept, but the realization that God's in control, so He's done this for a reason, what are you trying to say? You know. I have to take every step in life with the acknowledgement, I don't know what I'm doing. I think this is what God wants me to do. I'm sure He'll let me know if it's not. And even then, I'm still surprised. I have a reaction of shock sometimes at what the Lord's doing. But after a while, you begin to realize, why should I be surprised? God's in charge, and this is Him telling me what He wants me to do and how He wants me to do it. So it's a whole new life. Again, from the first hour, it's walking in life in dimension. If you are in Christ today, you are walking according to the Spirit. God's Spirit is leading your steps, every step that you take. My understanding of those steps can be totally different than what God is doing. So it's a great challenge. It's a great goal in life if you want to have one. We go to college, we go to university to study, and it's a challenge to some. We have on-the-job training or careers that we try to pursue sometimes. What a great goal to reach for, say, you know, I'm going to take the rest of my life as I live out my life in the necessities of the human realm. Is my goal in life is to learn about the spirit realm, about Jesus Christ, and about walking with Him with the realization of what He's doing. So my problem is like, I don't know what the Lord's doing. I don't know what He wants me to do. And the Lord's like, I'm not going to tell you. We think the Lord's got to tell us. You got to calm me down. You got to assure me that you're God and you're here and you're in control. That's not faith. We're learning to walk by faith. Not by believing in and following positive principles, because that's not a person. But the realization that Jesus Christ is real. He's alive. He's right here today in this room. And if you know Him, He is with you and in you in His fullness. The Creator of the universe is in you in His fullness. And to think that I have not been around His Word long enough to know that the Creator of the universe is moving in my life, His will is being done, and I don't have a clue, you know? I think my whole life's a mess, turned upside down, and in the midst of it all, where's the Lord anyway, you know? Satan would have us to evaluate life in the physical. Not in the spirit. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that in the midst of our struggle, there is not one judgment against those who are in Christ Jesus. And this position is all because of the Spirit of the life of Christ that has come to live within, who has freed us from the law of sin and death, which is in our physical members. And that you have sent your Son to judge sin in the flesh, who himself was perfect. And yet through him we are free from that law, which is judged. And you did it so that the righteous requirement of the law would be fulfilled in us in the person of Jesus Christ, those of us who are walking according to spirit and not according to the flesh. Though it might seem, while being saved, that we're walking according to the flesh, that's because we're sensitive only to the physical realm. But your Spirit is with us and is guiding us. As it says in your word in the book of Proverbs, that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. Every step we take, you know about, you've planned, you've been there, you have a purpose for it. We pray that you would cause us to realize there is no judgment against us, that we are free to concentrate on growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and allowing that knowledge to be worked out, to experience him and to know him, that we might have wisdom, be able to see life the way God sees life. We pray that you would help us with these things in Jesus' name. Amen.